Ryan Ryder here for Main Event Radio. The Canadian Destroyer, Petey Williams, made his wrestling return this past Saturday night, and he joins us right now here on Main Event Radio. Petey, welcome back into the Main Event. How you doing?
Oh, how's she going, eh?
Hey.
That's not a knock on you. That's my thing. You know, I'm Canadian as well, so.
Of course, fellow Canadian. We gotta support each other. How you been, man?
Oh, good. I mean, I feel great. You know, just getting back into the ring, getting things going again. I'm still trying to, you know, get my ring presence back and everything. But, you know, things couldn't be better, man. Things couldn't be better.
So you retired 3 years ago. What led to you leaving the squared circle or the six-sided ring, depending where you were wrestling? And what's made you decide to come back now?
I've been doing it. When I retired, I've been doing it for 14 years. I think it was just kind of my time. I just felt that it was best for myself and my family if I just, you know, a lot of wrestlers you'll see wrestle until they're 50, 60, you know, Terry Funk, whatever, was he now, 73? And I just didn't want to be like, you know, not being able to walk and like play with my kids and my grandkids and stuff like that. Because, you know, wrestling has a toll on your body. So I'm like, you know what? I escaped any massive serious injuries or anything like that. I said, maybe now is a good time to call it. I think at the time I was about to be turning 33, and I said that was that. And what led to my return, if that was the next question,
mm-hmm.
You know, part of it was, you know, and it's funny now that I think of it, because this past weekend I just had a conversation with Sami Callihan, who was Solomon Crowe in NXT, and you know, I was sitting next to him at the autograph table, and you know, we weren't saying much, and then we've known each other back from Ring of Honor days and stuff, and he said, you know, hey bro, I don't think you understand, but you changed the wrestling business. And I'm like, well, dude, what do you mean? And he's like, you were like the first one to introduce the Canadian Destroyer. You were doing a wrestling or a video game move, and you brought it into reality. Like, you were one of the first ones to do that. And he's like, dude, I don't think you realize that right now a revolution's going on. And you started it. He said, he has his own wrestling promotion called the Wrestling Revolver. And he said, and on my show alone, the first match had 4 Canadian Destroyers in it.
Wow.
So part of me was like, well, I kind of got to take the move back. You know, I see people complaining on social media, like, kids, stop doing the Canadian Destroyers. It means nothing if you do like tackle drop down Canadian Destroyer, you know, like they just don't understand what to do with the move. I knew what to do with the move when I had it. And yeah, now that I'm back, you know, I think it's fair warning to everybody. It's like, hey, I'm back. Stop using my move. If not, challenge me and, you know, we'll get it on.
Yeah. You always use it as a finish for the most part.
And you know, at first, when I first had the move, like, I was, you could tell people were just sitting and waiting for the Canadian Destroyer, you know, and they didn't really buy any false finish. I couldn't have a false finish and actually be a false finish. I could do a cool move before the Destroyer or something like that to pin the guy, but nobody bought it. It's like, hey, he didn't do the Destroyer yet. He's not going to beat anybody with something other than the Canadian Destroyer. So I was like, I hated being like a one-move wonder for a little bit. And then I was like, you know what? Why not embrace it? Why not take this as far as it can go? And then guys like that had over finishes, like Bubba Ray Dudley with his 3D and stuff like that, he gave me some tips on how to get the move like more over and how to tease it and stuff like that. So now, like, it's really easy when I have a match. I just base my match around trying to hit that move because that's what the people want to see. So I stopped fighting it, embraced it, and now it's at where it is today.
Well, that's the move that got you well known. It kind of differentiated you from the other performers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for what it's worth, I don't think too many people in the wrestling world and wrestling business industry, whatever, present, past, or future, can say that they've left their mark on professional wrestling forever. Like, I know when I'm like 70 years old with my grandkids watching Monday Night Raw or whatever is going to be on TV at that time, whatever wrestling, there's going to be some kid, probably not even born yet, that does the Canadian Destroyer. And I could say, hey, that was me. You know, I've created something that'll last, like, forever. Like, when I'm long dead, it'll still be going.
And it's not just the Canadian Destroyer either. It's the influence of the X Division, quote unquote, style as a whole, which now the entire wrestling industry has kind of been based on that style that once was known as the X Division.
Exactly, and if you look at the guys that I was in the mix with at the time, I mean, look where they're at now. Guys like AJ, Joe, my former two Team Canada members, Bobby Roode and Eric Young, like they're headlining and main eventing, like, you know, Monday Night Raw, SmackDowns, pay-per-views, all that kind of stuff. And I was right there in the mix with them. So, I mean, part of me, I'm like, you know, maybe I retired, like, a couple of years too early. But, you know, I don't have any regrets or anything. I enjoy where I'm at now and today. And, you know, hopefully I could just kind of reignite that where I left off.
It's interesting that you mentioned Terry Funk, because I was thinking about him when you announced that you're returning to the ring. Terry's had countless retirements and returns. What's your plan right now? Do you plan to stay in the ring for a little bit? How are you feeling after that match you had this past Saturday?
I don't know how long this run's going to be. It's all going to depend on my, like, personal life and all that kind of stuff. So I don't have an answer to that question right now. I mean, it could end today. It could end, you know, in years. It cannot end, you know. Who knows what's going to happen in professional wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have an answer to that. This was the first time I made a return. I really, really didn't want to be one of those guys that, you know, retired and came back, because it seems like everybody and their sister and brothers do that. And I didn't want to be that guy. I was like, you know, I was so content. I'm like, yes, I'm going to leave it all in the ring. My last match was against Chris Sabin. And I enjoyed it, and it was awesome, and I'm like, this is a perfect note to leave on. But, you know, I came back, you know, I had some influences and stuff like that, and I, you know, we already talked about other people doing the Canadian Destroyer and me kind of stopping that epidemic that's happening right now. So I just don't know how long it's going to last, and if I do retire again, that'll be it for sure.
Did seeing the success of former peers of yours like AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, and Eric Young, did that kind of fuel you to return and see where it can lead?
Yeah, definitely. Like, back when I used to work, like, way back in the day, 2009, I got released by TNA, and I came back for a short stint in, like, 2013. And I really didn't like what they did with me. They were just kind of like, hey, here's Petey, he's back. And he's in a three-way match.
Yeah, at the time it was all three-way matches.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, and I won it, and then went on to face the ex-champion. So I was thrown right back in the picture, but I was like, dude, there's no story. Like, I mean, do I have bitter feelings? Like, I mean, like, what's going on? So I didn't like how that all happened. But going back to 2009, when I was done there, I don't know if TNA and WWE were in a lawsuit. I don't know if they had bad heat, but WWE wasn't interested in, and I don't even think NXT was, like, where it's at now. It was just kind of, I think, like, their Florida, or whatever their...
It was a game show.
Was. Yeah, whatever, I don't...
Reality show, whatever it was.
Oh, that's right, that's what it was, yeah. So, and they didn't really want to touch anybody that was related to TNA. So, you know, and then... Even in 2014, when I retired, they still weren't really touching anybody. And it seems like right after I retired, they start picking everybody up from TNA. And I'm like, wow, you know. And they're not burying them. They're pushing them, and they're top guys and stuff. And I'm like, gee, like, maybe I did retire a little bit too early. So, I mean, who knows?
Well, the industry's really changed now with NXT and the fact that TNA, now known as Global Force Wrestling, and Ring of Honor are pretty much the biggest developmental territories for WWE.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell, and I wholeheartedly believe this, that the X Division, well, even go back before the X Division, the Cruiserweight Division in WCW, I think that, and even ECW, kind of helped solidify the X Division of what the next step is going to be in the evolution of wrestling. And now, I mean, that's what you see even on WWE TV, like the main roster and NXT and everything. Like, you see that former X Division style. So, I mean, at the time, you didn't realize it back in, you know, the early 2000s or whatever, that that TNA or Global Force, whatever they want to be called now, you didn't realize that a revolution was happening there. You didn't realize that you're going to look back on this in 10 years and be like, wow, they look at the talent they had there. They changed wrestling and stuff. But that's exactly what happened.
Ryan Ryder in conversation with Petey Williams. What did you miss most about the industry while you were away?
Probably the boys, you know, like when I was working, I was under contract with TNA for 5 years, and you know, you travel with these guys every weekend, you're rooming with them, you're seeing them more than, you know, your own family. And then all of a sudden, and you're living the dream pretty much. I remember when we first came down to, when we got the deal on Fox Sports that we were going to start filming our Friday TV show on, in Orlando. I mean, all of us as a unit, like as a company, we were all excited to move forward. And, you know, as more WWE guys started coming in and stuff like that, you kind of felt that kind of dissipate a little bit, but you still had your core guys that you started with, and you still felt as a family with them. And, you know, you're just living the dream. And then all of a sudden, you get a call one day. The dream that you've been living and worked for your whole life kind of gets ripped away from you for no apparent reason. And then guess what? You're not going to see your friends that you've been seeing every week. You're not going to see them anymore because you're not going to be going down there and traveling with them. So, I mean, that was the biggest thing that I missed about wrestling.
So what exactly happened that led to your departure from TNA at the time? Yeah, I remember there was the Feast or Fired match where you got the briefcase that had the pink slip inside of it. Were you told beforehand that there was going to be that slip inside? And what reasoning did they give you for your release?
Well, actually, I was in that Feast or Fired match. I won the World Heavyweight title.
Oh.
Chris Daniels won the Feast, he got the pink slip, he came back as Curry Man. So, and then that led to Steiner challenging me and doing the PD, you know, pump gimmick with Steiner and the blonde hair and stuff like
Maple
that.
Maple Leaf muscle.
After that, what happened? So I lost the X Division title, and then I'm trying to think of the series of events. I think Steiner was out with an injury,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know what they were going to do with me, and my contract was coming up, and I'm like, seems like they're kind of getting ready to write me out, and they did write me off TV because Steiner joined the main event Mafia, and they did an injury angle with me to separate Steiner and I, and then they call me back to TV, and they're like, all right, you're coming back, and I'm like, all right, and I interfered in Steiner and AJ Styles match. Mick Foley was a special guest referee, and I helped AJ win. And that's the first time I ever was like aligned with AJ Styles in the history of like my TNA run. So, you know,
and they called you guys the front line.
Yeah. And then that day, prior to the tapings, Terry Taylor, who was talent relations director at the time, said, "I'm standing there with Alex Shelley." And all of our contracts are just about at the same time. Like mine, the Motor City Machine Guns. I was kind of throwing it back, so I'm like, wow, I really thought they were getting ready to release me. So negotiations are going good. Everything's all set. I get home from, I think I just did some motion capturing for the video game in L.A. I get home, time change, you know, I'm taking a little nap. I get a call from Terry Taylor, and he's like, yeah, Petey, you know, we've decided that we're not going to re-sign you. I'm like, well, hold on, you just said you're going to re-sign me. I stopped doing everything else so I can negotiate with you. And he's like, sorry, you know, we got nothing for you. And I always say at the BS line when they say something like that. And I'm like, all right. And he's like, this is what's going to happen. You know, we're going to pay out, it's February now. We're going to pay out the rest of your contract. You're going to come to the pay-per-view, like next pay-per-view in February. And then you're going to do the two TV tapings and the last TV taping. It's going to be a loser leaves TNA match, and you get pinned and you have to leave. I'm like, whatever, dude. And that was that.
I remember seeing your face watching it on TV at the time and just seeing the disappointment in your eyes. I don't understand. It was just completely nonsensical why they would have gotten rid of you at that point.
Yeah, and I think it, like, when I, so I couldn't say anything, you know. And I'm a, If it's one thing, if you ever talk to any of the people that used to work in the office at TNA, anything they told me to do, I would do it. Like, you know, they had me, like, get shot in the bare back with a paintball gun by Scott Steiner, you know, and all this other crazy stuff. And I didn't complain. They made me shave my head on TV. Didn't complain. You know, if I work for a company, I understand it's your company. I'm a character on your television show. If you write a storyline for me, I'm going to execute it the best as I can. And so when they said don't tell anybody, I was calling the match between, you know, it was myself and Eric Young versus James Storm and Bobby Roode. And I told them, like, before we went out there, I said, guys, just so you know, this is, because they thought, oh, were they repackaging you? I'm like, I don't know. I kept saying, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I said, guys, I have to tell you, this is my last match. And they thought I was joking. And then I started saying goodbye to some people prior to my match. And they say, just stop messing around, you know, like, I think Homicide told me to shut the F up. I'm like, nobody believed it. And then I said, I had to tell them it's real. And then, you know, and yeah, of course I was disappointed. I mean, you know, it's something that I love to do, and I was living my boyhood dream, and then just to get it ripped away for no reason, I mean, that's devastating to an individual.
Was there anyone you had an issue with, whether it was Dixie or Russo or Jeff?
No, nothing. Oh. Nothing. It was nothing like that. So, I mean, and it started the domino effect, because then guys like, I think it was like Sanjay Dutt was like, hey, I saw Petey got released. Do I have to worry? And they were like, no, it's good, you know. Whatever. And then sure enough, like, Jimmy Rave gets released. Sanjay, they just went down the line, like, months at a time, just releasing people. And that's what happened. I mean, I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't know what the deal was behind it or anything. But it was good. I think people respected my position in the company, because even when I was done the match and I said my goodbyes in the ring, at the time, you know, you got to walk up the entrance ramp, and then when you go back through the curtain, you got to walk down steps, a flight of steps, to get to the gorilla area. And I walk through the curtain, I wait, I go to turn to walk down the steps, and a good portion of the locker room is just standing there looking at me, and they start, you know, giving me applause and hugs and stuff, because I was the first one of the trend that got released, and then it just started, the trickle effects started happening. So,
well, if you look at the roster that TNA had in the mid-2000s and the product that they had, it was a really strong product. It was a good roster, and for them to have messed that up, it's very disappointing.
Yeah, but I mean, a company's got to grow. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. People will outgrow this, they'll go other places, make more money, and I mean, that's business. You can only stay loyal to a company for so long, and until you gotta, you know, do what's best for your family. And yeah, just like I said, I mean, I don't think people realized at the time when they were watching it in the mid-2000s what kind of talent, you know, what we were doing as a company in TNA. And you look back on it now and you're like, man, you kind of wish that you would have watched it so you could have experienced that, for lack of a better term, that revolution that happened in wrestling.
I was watching it all, and I enjoyed every match, every moment at the time. 2017 now, Sanjay Dutt is the X Division champion. Low Key's back in the company. Would a return to TNA, now under the name of Global Force Wrestling, be in the cards for you?
I mean, anything's possible. You know, I'm taking it steps at a time. Global Force Wrestling returns possible. Other places. I mean, there's so much wrestling out there right now. Just when I was talking to Sammy Callahan on Saturday, he's like, dude, like, look at the guys on the independent circuit that aren't signed to, you know, television contracts or whatever, big companies, that are making so much money. You know, a good example of that is the Young Bucks.
Mm-hmm. Who, like, just wrestled in Montreal two weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, they're with New Japan and Ring of Honor, but those are big companies and the wrestling world. But they would be able to do fine just without them. And even guys like Colt Cabana, you know, he's doing he's a commentator for Ring of Honor, but, you know, he's doing totally fine and making a ton of cash just being an independent contractor. And, you know, it's podcasts and all that stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of wrestling out there that you could go to. So, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, right now, I just came back, and it was my first two matches against, it was for Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore. I mean, even him, he had, I think he was on Flow Slam for a little bit. And he had a little deal going on. But, I mean, he's working up towards television deals, too, I would assume.
And he's been on the Fight Network, too, here in Canada.
Yeah, the Fight Network, too. So, I mean, I don't get that over. I live in the U.S. now, but... So, I mean, he's an up-and-coming business as well, and it seems like every time he runs a show, I don't know if WWE's watching, but he's picking guys from that company, Vince or whoever you want to say he's picking the guys, and taking them over to WWE. It seems like as soon as you're with House of Hardcore, you're going to WWE. And, I mean, it sucks for Tommy because he constantly has to build new talent, but it's also good for him because, you know, I mean, they're looking at Tommy's company is something very special, and if WWE thinks it's special, then it's got to be special.
Is NXT a brand that you'd be interested in working for?
A while ago, no, but I mean, I don't see why not. A lot of guys I know that I do the same style with are working there. I have no idea what it's like. I've never worked for that company, but I wouldn't. I mean, I'm open to all options. Is what I guess I'm trying to say. I wouldn't be like, no, absolutely not. I don't like what they represent or anything like that. Or at the end of the day, I just want to wrestle. That's what I want to do. And I'll wrestle whoever, whenever. It doesn't matter to me. As long as I get to, you know, wrestle in front of the fans and they appreciate it, then, yeah, I'm going to do it wherever.
Well, their stage in Florida is very similar to the Impact Zone. Their championship belt looks like the X Division championship, and they have Bobby Roode and Eric Young wrestling there. So I think you'd feel right at home.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe Team Canada Reform. Who knows? I mean,
that'd be amazing.
They probably wouldn't go for that, but yeah, no. I mean, Bobby and Eric were. I mean, we started at TNA at the exact same time, and you know, kind of worked their way up in this business together. So I mean, these two guys are two of my closest, you know, wrestling friends. So I mean, yeah, very similar. I mean, what's good about the WWE product now is those guys that used to work for TNA, Ring of Honor, whatever, they're transitioning into there. They brought that style of wrestling there, so it's kind of like we're finally getting to see that style on WWE TV. So now you're getting that style pretty much across the board. That's the new age of wrestling.
I never expected it, but I'm really happy it's happening right now.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's great for all. I look at it from a wrestling perspective. It's great for all talent because it's not like you can't. There's no more. Oh, you're typecasted. No, you're a TNA type guy, or you're a Ring of Honor guy, or you're a WWE guy, or you're a Japan guy. Now it's like you can go from one company to the next, and you wouldn't know the difference because anybody could be that type of guy.
It's really changed. It really has. So you came back recently in the ring this past weekend. You wrestled a physical style historically. Are you planning to tone that down or not?
I'm just going to go. I mean, I was never like the most like death-defying, super athletic, dude, crazy flips type of guy. Just because, I mean, okay, I could do that stuff, but I know the guy next to me could do it like 100 times better. You know, so I don't want to do a move that's like 50% good when I have other moves that I can do 100% good. So, I mean, I'm just going to do what I normally do and see how it goes. I mean, I don't really have a game plan. I'm going to kind of see what's out there. I'm going to have to adapt to the younger guys because I'm not in my early 20s anymore. So, you know, I was kind of blowing up in the ring. You know, I was out of breath and stuff like that, wrestling on Friday and Saturday. And, but, I mean, that's probably because I haven't done it in 3 years. But I feel like my timing is still okay. I mean, I don't think it's at my peak that it was, but I still feel my timing is okay. And, but, you know, I just do ring work on little things like my, you know, my wind in the ring. But mm-hmm. You know, mentally, I could still do it because I could still structure matches and all that kind of stuff because your mind doesn't die. You could still... you know, think about all the stuff you're going to do. It's just the fact of physically, can I do it anymore?
Yeah, well, getting back into shape, working off the ring rust, those type of things you can get over. And how's your body feeling, though, after these matches that you had?
I felt great the past 3 years. Holy cow, not taking a bump in the ring. My body felt great. After the two matches, I mean, I was sore. I was definitely sore on Friday. Then I had to go do it again on Saturday. And I was sore. And, I mean, I didn't, you know, I think my first match was like maybe 12 minutes or so, which is a standard, you know, type of match. And the next one was a four-way, but it was faster paced. But there was multiple guys, so I wasn't worried about my win there. I can get, you know, catch my breath while other three guys are doing something. But yeah, I mean, I was a little sore, but it's been a week, and you know, I adjusted, and I feel all right. You know, I'm on a good diet now that I haven't been on before, and I think that's helping with my joint pain and stuff like that. So, you know, I know it's going to hurt. I mean, I've hurt for 14 years. It's just getting back into it. It's just different, you know, now that I'm older. It's just a lot different. It's good when I come back and then people are like, you know, oh, good to see you again and all that kind of stuff. You know, especially when family support's really important. Like, at first, I didn't want to go back, but then there were some things that led to it, and my wife was, like, super supportive of it. And she was actually my biggest fan saying go back when I was hemming and hawing about it. And so, I mean, that definitely helped a lot.
So who pushed you to come back? Was it Tommy?
You know, my wife had mentioned it. I don't know if she wants to get rid of me out of the house on the weekends. I don't know. And then when I finally decided, yeah, then first person, you know, I contacted was Tommy. Because the last conversation I had with Tommy Dreamer, he's like, hey, why are you retiring? I gave him my reasons. And he's like, well, you know, you'll always have a job with me if you ever want to come back. So my first text to him was like, hey, you still have a job for this old washed-up wrestler? He said, absolutely. And he booked me on his shows.
You're still 37. That ain't too old for a wrestler. You mentioned Terry Funk, 73 years old, still making a comeback.
36.
Okay.
36 next Saturday. So I'm 35 right now.
So happy birthday in advance.
Yeah, hey, Terry Funk doesn't have to go out there and do a Canadian Destroyer every night. All right. I know. Remember when Hulk Hogan said, like, man, I can't do the leg drop. I wish it would used to. I wish it would have came up and did the sleeper or something that doesn't hurt the body. So I mean, I'm gonna be landing on my hips and my ass every night. Forever.
Maybe start using a second finisher that you could transition to.
Yeah, like the sharpshooter or something easy. I'll do the armbar.
a chokehold. Just do a Roddy Piper style.
That's what it is, man. I gotta stick my finish. I'm sure people will love that. Being the original Canadian Destroyer guy. Why isn't he doing that anymore? Everybody else is doing it.
You're the originator. You got to show how it's done.
Exactly. You understand.
Of course. You mentioned Scott Steiner a little earlier. I want to know if you have any funny stories of working with him.
Oh, God. So many. I haven't seen him in years. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, one that... it's not G-rated, but I could tell. I could try to, you know, hold my language and stuff.
Come on, no censorship. Let it out. Let's hear it.
All right. So, at the time, I was getting ready to feud with Frank Kazarian, and we had a promo set up, and we used to film in Soundstage 21, and I think the Nickelodeon Soundstage, we had, like, some sets built there where we do the interviews in Jim Cornette's office and stuff like that. And we walked in there, and Steiner and I got to do a... like a pre-tape segment, and AJ Styles is currently doing his interview, and Vince Russo's directing this thing, he's producing it, and me and Steiner are waiting in the Jim Cornette office set, and AJ keeps messing up whatever his lines are, whatever, and they have to keep yelling cut, and then Steiner's like, he's flipping out, he's like, come on, man, let's go, you know, like all that kind of stuff, and every time they yell cut, you know, he starts flipping out. And then finally, Russo goes, hey, Scotty, one more outburst out of you, you're out of here. I'm like, I'm the cool head of Scott. You know, I think that's why they paired him with me. I could, like, you know, kind of talk some sense and stuff like that. And I said, Scott, it's the only thing we got to do today. just be quiet. Let AG knock this out. We'll knock ours out in one take, and then we'll be out of here. And I thought he nodded and said, yeah, like, hey, that's a pretty brilliant idea. But instead, AJ messed up again. Scotty starts flipping out, man, fuck this shit, blah, blah, you know, and he's going nuts. And Russo's like, you're out of here, right? But Scott was already walking towards the door. Next take, AJ nails it. We bring Scotty back in. Then we're doing our promo. The line is supposed to be, Scott's supposed to say something like this. Jeremy Borash talking about Frank Kazarian being a rising star shooting up to the top. Something like that, okay? And Scott's supposed to say, hey, JB, shut up. The only thing that's going to be shot around here is when I unload on your ass. Something like that, okay? Instead, what comes out, you know, he's like, hey, Frank Kazarian, shooting star to the top. He's like, JB, shut up. The only thing that's going to be shot around here is when I shoot a load up your ass. And then we're all like, wait, this gay shit you're writing? You know, not there's anything wrong with that, but like he thought we were trying to set him up or something like that. Yeah. And then Russo's like, no. He's like, Scott, look at it right there. He said, and he's like, no, it's shit. Oh, okay. All right, right. So we keep doing the promo. Scotty keeps messing up. I'm not saying a word. My lines aren't till the end. And he was supposed to say contest or something like that. Instead, what comes out of is cashness. And he was going to keep going. He was really going to keep going through with the promo. But you could hear Russo go, like, kind of like that small little laugh. And he's like, shit, cut. You know, and I was like, Vince, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, he was going to keep going. And I turned to Scotty without Vince hearing. And I said, Scotty, you got to kick him out now. And he's like, yeah, Vince, you're out of here. And then Vince Russo's like, all right, fine. He leaves. He was producing the segment. He leaves. Next take, nailed it without him there.
So do you think he was putting out a little bit of a show to get a reaction? Or was accidental?
I don't know. Because if you watch his other promos, sometimes they won't yell cut, but he'll cut himself. And Vince would get upset. He'd be like, what are you doing, man? He's like, no, I messed that up. He's like, no, that's okay. He's like, your character. It's like you have all this, like, pent-up frustration, and you're like a madman and just, like, want to let it out. And, yeah, so what? You stumble over words. That's what a normal person would do when they're trying to, like, you know, talk and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't think he – Scott likes to nail stuff, like, instantly. Like, when he did that promo, that mask, equation promo, do you remember that one where he was talking about he was supposed to be working Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe, and he's talking about his percentages of chances of winning the match? And then
okay yes they replayed this promo recently, as Steiner actually worked a match back in June, and they actually played a clip of that promo. So yes, I do know about it, with him spewing out random stats.
Yeah, so I mean, so that, like, that was a one take promo. Okay, because if you look at me in it, I have glasses on and chainmail and stuff. But he keeps going on and on and talking. And at first the math makes sense, but then he starts it starts not making sense. He starts using fractions mixed with percentages and all this kind of stuff. And I just look at the camera like, are we still seriously rolling? Oh, you guys? Oh, okay, yeah, sure. Okay, I guess we're still doing this. And they just let him go on. And then it was a long promo, and I think I said something at the end to close it out, and they were like, great, that's a wrap. So, I mean, that was a one-take promo. So some of his best promos are one-take, because they're just like, you don't know what he's going to say, and he says it, and then you're just like, awesome, air that. Like, yeah.
You're listening to Main Event Radio. Ryan Ryder on the line with Petey Williams. So, Petey, you're talking about Scott Steiner. You had a series of matches with him, two pay-per-view matches. What was it? What was he like in the ring?
Oh, it was good. He was he wanted to work with you, and like I remember the first time I worked him, I had all these ideas in my mind. Like, you know, he's a bigger guy, I'm a smaller dude. I was like, yeah, you know, I'll hit the rope, I'll go for one clothesline, second clothesline, third one duck, whatever, cross. Like, you know, stuff you would do to knock down a bigger guy. Like, so I didn't want to bump him that much, but then he wanted me to bump him. Like, he wanted to make me look strong, I guess. So, I mean, he was really good. The first time I worked him in the ring, I didn't know how it was going to be. But then after that, I mean, it got to the point where I think the last time I ever worked him was, it was up in Canada. I want to say London. There was this guy, I can't remember his name. It was an independent show, but he had, I think it was called like Hardcore Road Tour or something like that, something similar. And he had booked all these former ECW guys, Steiners, there. And a lot of guys didn't show up because, I don't know, they didn't get their money ahead of time and stuff. I got paid all my money, so I'm good. And I trusted the guy to pay me there, so, and he did. But a lot of the guys didn't get money up front, and they thought they weren't going to get paid, so whatever. So Scotty was there. They had to make some change to the card, and I remember the promoter coming up to me because, I mean, Scott's still an intimidating dude, and a lot of people are intimidated of him. And he comes up to me, and he says, you can see he's like kind of hemming and hawing. He was like, so, because there was two shows that night. Like, first show, I'm going to have you work Christian York. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, now the next one, you see, this show I'm going to have Scott work this, but, or just do a run-in, and I don't really have anybody for him to work. You could tell he was really beating around the bush, and I knew what he wanted to ask me, like, hey, do you want to work Scott, which I'm totally fine with, but I didn't want to tell him that, because I like people squirm like that, so, you know, he's beating around the bush, and then finally, when it gets to the point where he can't take it anymore, I'm like, do you want me to work Scotty? So I said, you want me to work Scotty? He's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. And I walk away. He's like, oh, thank you so much. You know, like, he was so worried. And, you know, he's fine. Like, maybe because he likes me. I don't know. But he's totally fine with me.
Okay, that's great. Has anyone reached out to you since you announcing your return?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, some people have reached out to me and stuff like that. And, you know, I got some stuff lined up and planned. Nothing confirmed yet. So, I mean, best thing I can say is just, you know, keep an eye out. I'm sure, you know, you'll find me on social media and all that stuff. Yeah, but, I mean, until it's confirmed, you know, I really can't say much.
Do you have any bookings coming up?
Well, I was going to work for Tommy next. House of Hardcore next Saturday, but for unforeseen circumstances, he had to cancel the show. I think he posted on social media that he can't talk about it legally, so that's where we stand with that. And then I got some local shows coming up in September, some other local shows coming up in October, all the way up until, I think I even got stuff in November. So instantly, right away, like as soon as I made my announcement, people were already reaching out to me and stuff like that. So, I mean, that was really positive. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to announce anything because I don't know who's planning on having me as a surprise and who's not. You know, and in the wrestling world, that's what everybody wants to do now, like surprise, you know, appearance by so-and-so. So, you know, I can't really say much just because I don't know if it's going to be a surprise or not.
Which cities?
I live like in the Detroit area, but I got some local stuff coming up. And then I got some stuff, out in like Maine. I've never been there before. So, I mean, it's good to be there. Some back over in Windsor in Canada. I think I'll be, more local stuff. Yeah, I mean, I don't have my calendar out right now to look at everything, but I got some stuff coming up. So, I mean, you're going to see me around for at least guaranteed until the end of the year I'll be around. That's 100%.
It's got to be longer than that. Come on.
Oh, I said 100%. You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, never say never in professional wrestling. Petey Williams coming back. After a three-year hiatus, quote-unquote retirement, but you never truly retire in professional wrestling.
No, you just take a break.
Have you been in touch with Scott D'Amore at all?
I talk to Scott all the time. Scott was the one that trained me, and when I decided I was going to go back, I actually went to his school, and Johnny Devine teaches there, along with Johnny Bravo. It's to kind of shake off some ring rust and stuff like that. Then I went over to Truth Martini School, you know, rolled around the ring again. And then Scott went over there again. And, yeah, I mean, I still talk to Scott all the time. Yeah, I talk to a lot of the guys that you know, that I was with. I still talk to them. Yeah.
And what goals do you have remaining in the industry?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I never really thought of that. Well, ultimately, you know, in a perfect world, I would love to, you know, just be able to be financially secure through wrestling, and then maybe do it for a little bit, and then be able to retire and not have to worry financially. That would be, like, I guess, my ultimate goal, doing something I love and getting financial security from it. Whether I do that at, you know, Japan, Ring of Honor, TNA, WWE, NXT, wherever, House of Hardcore, it doesn't matter. I'm not biased on companies. I'm really not. And I think we talked about that because it seems like all the wrestlers have, like, worked everywhere in some form or another throughout their career. And it just seems like all the styles and stuff like that are kind of intermixed. And, you know, it's like we can go anywhere nowadays. And that's the first in professional wrestling. It's been like that. You know, I would have been a guy back in the day and been like, nah, you know what? He can't be in WWE because of whatever stigma they have. It's not like that anymore. And same with, like, you know, like TNA. Like, oh, you know, he wouldn't fit back in that. It doesn't mean anything anymore. So, yeah, financial security would be, like, my ultimate goal.
MainEventRadio.com is our official homepage. Follow us on Twitter at MainEventRadio. I'm your host, Ryan Ryder, talking with Petey Williams. So in our first half of the interview, Petey kind of kayfabed us. We didn't know he was going back to GFW, but as seen on Impact, he made his return to his former home back in the day known as TNA, now known as Global Force Wrestling Impact. And now we've got Petey for a second part talking about his return to GFW. Yeah, so you kayfabed me yesterday.
Well, I couldn't tell anybody.
Yeah, I know. It's all good.
I mean, I couldn't. I just, but, you know, at least I was like, yeah, I got some things in the works.
It was a good little surprise, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you signed with them now?
No, I'm not signed.
Okay.
So that's still, yeah, I'll just say I'm not signed.
Was it a one-time appearance?
There'll be, like, I guess it doesn't matter, this is filming next week, so this is airing next week, and by the time the end of today rolls around, because we're filming so many shows down here, it's all going to be out on the internet anyways, everything that I did. So, you know, I'll be around for, you know, we're filming 12 weeks of TV, so I'll be around for the next 12 weeks, if not longer.
Okay, so what is the role that Global Force Wrestling has planned for you at these tapings?
Well, you know, you saw what happened on Destination X, so I, you know, helped Sanjay make sure that, you know, you're going to get screwed out of the title again. So, you know, I kind of evened up the playing field, and, you know, I think I'm just going to be back here solidifying the X division again, kind of trying to get it where it used to be back in its heyday, pretty much. You got some originals back. You got myself, Sanjay. You know, I consider both of us originals. You got, you know, even Loki. I don't know how much he's going to be doing with the X Division, but, you know, he's back as well. He's an original X Division guy. We have a lot of really good young talent that are, man, a lot of them come up to me and be like, hey, man, I used to watch you when I was in, like, high school and elementary school. It makes me feel old, but, you know, I appreciate that. And now they're just great talent, and I think we're just putting you know, the originals and kind of intermixing the great, like, the young talent and kind of rebuilding the exodus.
You keep saying old, but like we said yesterday, you're 35. That's still young, brother.
In wrestling world time, that's for the exodus style, that's considered old. I want to slap up my Jerry Lynn card and kind of get that kind of you know.
Yeah, Jerry was 38 when TNA first started.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and he could still go. And, you know, but I mean, just nowadays, it's different. I see these, I don't like to call them kids, but they're young, the early 20s. Like, that's what I was when I first started here. And if you're looking at what they're doing now, they're phenomenal athletes. Like, they can do absolutely anything. You look at Desmond Xavier, his finishing move is a a round off backflip and then another backflip into like a reverse kick to the head. I'm like, geez, like that's ridiculous, you know, ridiculously awesome. So all these kids to do all this stuff now. But sometimes I feel, and I see this on the independent circuit, people doing the Canadian Destroyers, just, you know, this place, that place, and wherever in the match, and it doesn't mean anything. So I think it's a good thing where you got guys like myself, Sanjay Dutt, Loki, that know where to place these things to make them mean something and get your athleticism over, because you can have an athletic 5-minute match, 10-minute match, whatever. You can be going out there and doing everything in the world, but the crowd's going to be sitting on their hands because, I mean, they you don't give them a chance to breathe. So, you know, as long as we could kind of bring that to the X Division, you know, we'll be good again.
It's kind of a little bit of experience versus youth. Is that where the story's going to go?
No, I don't. I don't know what they have storyline wise. What they're doing, I'm kind of left in the dark in that. I'm just trying to enjoy this run. I don't think I stopped and like kind of smelled the roses last time. I was too busy like. I don't know what I was too busy doing, but now I'm just like, hey man, you know, whatever. I'm here. It's I'm having fun this time around. It's all good. So I don't know what if they're going like for youth versus old. I don't know.
You talk about wanting to bring the X Division back into prominence. In its heyday, it was what defined TNA wrestling. What can be done to bring the X Division, I guess, back to the level it once was?
Just like the things I just talked about, like just. You know, we have good athletes. We just have to get them a little bit more experience. Like when I first started here, I had only been wrestling for maybe 4 years and didn't have a lot of experience. But then you put me in the ring with guys like Jerry Lynn, who had a lot of experience, and guys like that. He helped kind of structure my matches and not just do, what do they call it, like showboating the Canadian Destroyer. That means nothing. Like they helped me kind of make that the centerpiece of my match. So, you know, I'd like to do that with the other guys where have their stuff mean something, get the people invested in watching the X Division again, not just be like, oh, it's going to be a big spot fest. No, it's going to be an athletic match, with some drama in it, some storytelling, all that kind of stuff.
So how did you feel last night when you came out to the crowd as a surprise, helping out Sanjay Dutt? What was the reaction like at the Impact Zone in Orlando?
I rolled in and then, you know, people were like, who is this guy? Like, I had my back to the crowd because the Hurt Cam's on the other side. And, you know, then you hear a couple of people in the front row that got a closer look at me. When I jumped over, like, it's Petey. And then right away, like, a Petey chant started. And then as soon as I hooked up the Destroyer, people knew. And that's the difference right there. People have done the Canadian Destroyer, other wrestlers on Impact. And the people don't care. But because it's all about storytelling with it. As soon as I hooked it, you know, the people knew what was coming. And then I hit it, and then I let it digest, got my boy Sanjay up to the ladder. I mean, it was good. I mean, it was everything I hoped for with the reaction.
I know Sanjay's your boy, but at one point in time, you were the longest reigning X Division champion. Is getting a shot at that championship, is that something you want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I work my way up and I'm in, you know, I'm going to earn the title shot. I'm not going to be one of those guys who's like, hey, I'm Petey Williams, I'm back, I deserve a title shot just because I stuck my nose in the title pitcher. No, I mean, you know, I probably got to work my way up, get a title shot. But, of course, I mean, that's my goal, to reclaim the X Division championship.
How'd your return to GFW come to be? Who was it that you spoke with?
It was Scott DeMore. I went back to February. He asked how, you know, we're good friends. He asked how my kids were doing and all that stuff. And I said, good. He asked what I was up to. And, you know, he was really happy for me and stuff. And then he brought up, and this is before they brought Sanjay on to the creative team. So I don't think Sanjay came on until March. And Scott said, yeah, your name has been brought up a lot in our creative meeting. And I just told him, I said, you know, awesome. I'm really happy in life. I'm just probably never going to wrestle again. And then, you know, then he kind of like said, you know, how's your new kid doing? And I got like two other kids as well. And he's asking about my kids, and he's like, yeah, you know, maybe I just thought that your kids might want to see what their daddy used to do. And I'm like, oh, man, you're an ass. Like, tugging at my heartstrings with my kids. And I'm like, so that's what kind of got me. And then I just said, to be continued. I'm like, you know, I said, oh, well, like, it's not going to happen. And I went to my wife, and I said, yeah, listen to this conversation I had with Damore. And she was the one that said, do it. Go and do it. And I said, yeah, I don't think you understand what that means. You know, I said, that's, yeah, I got to get ring shape. It's going to take more time with me away from the family. I said, I'll be traveling. That's going to make you a single mother, essentially, of three kids. She's like, I got this. Go, do it. So she was super supportive. I couldn't ask for more from a wife. In May, I made the decision that it was going to happen. And I told Damore to call me. We talked for about an hour. We talked stuff that I would not be willing to do storyline-wise. And, it kind of just, they had July tapings. I said, I won't be ready for July, so don't include me in that. And then they included me in these, what month is it, August? These August tapings.
So just when you think you're out, they pull you back in.
Exactly. And you know how to do it. Scott's like a good liaison, so to speak. He knows what gets me and stuff like that. I mean, he's the one that trained me. So, they sent the right person to reach out to me.
So, Petey, who else did you see backstage that you hadn't seen in a long time that maybe you were excited to have, I guess, encountered once again?
I think everybody. Obviously happy to see Sanjay again. It's been years since I've seen him. Lashley, the other, you know, Loki, Conan, all those guys, Uncle Jeff, Dust, Abyss, Jeremy Borash, like all those guys that I used to beat down back in the day.
It's funny that you call him Uncle Jeff.
Oh, that just started like when I was younger. Like we just all the X-Division guys, like we joke around and be like, "Hey, Uncle Jeff." Like I don't know how that even came about. Like even when Damore texted me about who's, you know, and part of it too, when Damore reached out to me, he's like, "Here's who's running the place now," you know. And it was not the same people that when I came back in 2013, which I was happy about. I'm like, it's the same guys that ran the place back when I was working here, so I felt very comfortable with that. These guys that book the show have, you know, they understand how to book me and stuff like that, my importance to the company, all that kind of stuff. So I was happy that they would utilize me properly.
Well, the future of GFW lays in its past.
I think so. I think it's making a full revolution now. Like, I mean, why not go back to what brought you to the game, right?
Yeah, they had a few years where it was kind of up and down, and then now they've brought back some old names behind the scenes and on camera, and it seems like they're finally getting things back in order.
Yeah, and I mean that's the goal. You know, obviously right now it's the rebuilding time, and I mean they're going to go from there, and hopefully, you know, the Destination X, I feel like the company is back on an upswing, so hopefully they can they can make the most of that. But when Scott originally texted me, I said, well, who's working there? He's like, the people that it's like Abyss, you know, JD, Uncle Jeff. He even knows that I call him Uncle Jeff, so that's what he texted me, you know, so that's funny.
Dutch Mantel, and it's some good names now, mm-hmm. creatively. And Sanjay, too.
Yep. And that's good that they have an X-Division guy in there. And I knew, like, Sanjay's always been smart. Like, I've known that, right? And it's good that they actually see how smart he is and how like well he is behind the scenes. They're actually utilizing him, so I'm very happy for him. I think what brought him to the game was, you know, when TNA had that India deal back years ago, Sanjay, you know, could speak Hindi, so he was kind of the liaison. And I think Jeff leaned on him for a lot of things and then realized, hey, This guy knows what he's doing, and that was his way in.
So I think one of the differences right now compared to 4 or 5 years ago is that at that time there was just too many people in charge that you didn't know who to go to when you had a question. Now you know it's Uncle Jeff.
Yeah, it's definitely Jeff. Like, before, it's like, who's in charge, Dixie or Jeff? You know, and they might have a difference in creative opinions because I think they're both even shareholders. But, you know, the company's owned by Anthem, and Jeff's, like, in charge of creative, like, the head of creative, but there's a committee where he gets his ideas from and stuff like that, and the committee, I already mentioned their names. And I don't know how much goes past Jeff, like, to talk to Ed, that in charge of, like, Anthem, like, what they talk about or whatever. So I don't know how that goes, but Jeff's ultimately, yeah, in charge.
So yesterday I asked you what goals you have remaining in pro wrestling, and I guess you couldn't give me the full answer. So let me ask you it again. What goals do you have remaining in GFW?
You know, I think it's the same. I think a good thing would be to, like, you know, just pass the torch along, do whatever I can to help out the company. And then ultimately it would be nice to be, you know, like I said before, financially secure. Wherever it may be, even if I don't end my career in Global Force, it's still the same goal. It's just I happen to, this is a pathway to my goal.
What do you think of the name change, by the way?
It doesn't matter. I mean, they dabbled with that years ago, even when I was working here. And, you know, like, I think back in when they started the company in 2002, you know, like, kind of shock TV, that Jerry Springer and the Attitude Era and stuff like that. That was the shocking thing. You had to get people's attention that way, you know. And then TNA sounds obviously like tits and ass. So, like, oh, what's this TNA wrestling? Which is kind of, like, misleading, because then when you tune in, they just wanted eyes on the program, hopefully, that it captures their attention and be like, oh, I like this wrestling. It's not the tits and ass that I thought, but yeah, okay, I like this wrestling. And then the name just stuck with TNA. And they wanted to change it, like, after we, you know, were at Universal down in Florida for a while, and it just never came, too. And, like, I remember Dutch saying, like, you know, hell, it doesn't matter what you call it. Call this TNW, Total Nonstop Wrestling. Like, it doesn't matter what you call a company. Like, even WWE changed their name at one time. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Petey Williams, thank you for joining us on Main Event Radio, and I wish you the best of luck in your return to GFW and to the professional wrestling world.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.